Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to the Old Testament this morning. We're going to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter number 13. And we'll read verses 1 to 5. Thank you for turning with me in your Bibles there. As you know, we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 11, at many examples of faith. And we are up to the unnamed ones who lived by faith, many of them in the Old Testament, many examples given to us. And this morning we're going to look at one such example here in 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Let's read verses 1 to 5 and then a few more verses to come. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam began Abijah to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Micaiah, the daughter of Uriel of Gibeah. And there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam. And Abijah set the battle in array with an army of valiant men of war, even 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam also set the battle in array against him with how many men? 800,000 chosen men, so double, being mighty men of valor. Verse 4. And Abijah stood up upon the mountain Zemarim, which is in Mount Ephraim, and said, Hear me, thou Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought ye not to know that the Lord God of Israel gave the kingdom of Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Come with me to verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them, so they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried unto the Lord. And the priests sounded with the trumpets, and the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, so that there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Verse 18 is the key verse. Notice with me. Let's say it together on two, shall we? 2 Chronicles chapter 13 and verse 18, 1, 2. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. This morning we're going to look at the subject regarding a faith that relies on God. A faith that relies on God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that the examples of those who live by faith of old, Lord, would be an example for us to follow today. Help us, dear God, to learn what it means to rely on you completely. Father, help us, we pray, to live by faith in this day, so that you may be glorified and you may receive the glory through our lives and in our midst. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, here in 2 Chronicles, chapter number 13, perhaps we're reading some verses that you and I are not too familiar with. But just a little note to begin with. We see that in the life of the nation of Judah, there was a great victory that was won. And God specifically tells us in verse 18 that the children of Judah prevailed. Why? How did they gain such an impossible victory? Because they did what? They relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Now, the word rely is an interesting word. It means to rest on. It means to depend on completely. It means, in fact, to lie on. The word describes a total reliance upon God. Now, when we flew into Adelaide on Monday, we heard the captain say, as we land, we're going to encounter a little bit of turbulence. And most of you probably know about the storms that were down south recently, and they were still lingering around. So everyone fastened their seatbelts for the descent. And as we descended through the clouds, sure enough, the plane went left, the plane went right, it went up, it went down. And I don't think I've ever felt that kind of turbulence before. And how many of you understand that when you're seated in a plane, well, you're buckled in, and you've got no one else to trust in but the Lord. You know, when you get on a plane, what are you trusting in? Well, you're trusting in God. You're trusting that He will help the pilots to have wisdom. He will keep every nut and screw and bolt in that plane. If you're like me, maybe you've prayed that before. Lord, protect us on this journey. And that's what it means to rely on the Lord. You know, we are totally dependent upon Him alone. If anything goes wrong, that's in God's control. If He protects the plane, that's in God's control. We have nothing to do with it except to rely on God. Now, the problem is, when you and I enter into the turbulence of life, when you and I face the problems and the trials of life, what do we want to do? Or let me say, which seat do we want to sit in? We try to get into the captain's seat, don't we? We push the captain out of the way and say, get out of the way, I need to take control of this thing. I need to take control of this area of my life. I don't like the turbulence that I'm experiencing. And you see, the problem is, so often you and I don't live by faith because we are not totally relying upon the Lord. So this morning we're going to learn from this little example here in the Old Testament about what it means to rely on the Lord God of our fathers. And we're going to see two simple lessons this morning. Notice, first of all, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, first of all, we see a faith against the odds. Wouldn't you agree? A faith that is against the odds. Now, let me give you a little bit of background of the history here of the nation of Israel. In verse 1 of chapter 13, we read that Rehoboam's son, Abijah, became the king of Judah after his father's death. Now, Rehoboam wasn't a godly king. He was a wicked king. He was a wicked king that lived according to all the sins of his fathers. And Abijah inherited a lot from him. And one thing we do know that he inherited was a divided kingdom. You see, the nation of Israel was not unified at this time. They were divided. There was the tribe of Judah, and then there was the rest of Israel. And the Bible tells us that they were at war against each other. Jeroboam was the king of Israel. Abijah was the king of Judah. And the Bible tells us that as a result of the conflict, they were at war. In verse 4, we see that they were preparing for battle. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we see that Abijah, in verse number 3, stood upon a mountain to speak to Jeroboam and all Israel. Now, in verse 5 that we read this morning, we see that Abijah reminds Jeroboam of the promises of God. You see, though Abijah wasn't an entirely godly man, here we see he's speaking the truth in verse 5. He says to Jeroboam, don't you know that God ordained that through the line of David would come the line of the kings? You are rebelling against the word of God. You are rebelling against what God's plan is for our nation. And he rebuked Jeroboam in the following verses because Jeroboam didn't just make a mistake in this area, but what he did was he brought the idols of pagan countries into Israel. He caused the priests to worship idols. He caused the people to worship golden calves. And he turned away the hearts of Israel from following the Lord. That's what Jeroboam did. So Abijah, as he stood upon that mountain, what was he doing? Performing an act of righteousness. He was telling the truth for God's glory in his name and by faith. Why was it by faith? Well, how many people did Abijah have in his army? 400,000, the Bible tells us in verse 5. How many did Jeroboam have in his army? Twice as many. So suddenly, as we look at these verses, what is the first thing we see? We see a faith against the odds. A faith against the odds. Because you see, Abijah knew if Jeroboam wasn't happy, with what he has just said, they would attack. And how many of us understand that Jeroboam, because he was ungodly, because he had allowed the nation of Israel to be pulled into idolatry and paganism, he wasn't very happy with what Abijah was saying, though it was true. And the Bible tells us that from a human point of view, these were terrible odds. What would you and I have done in such a situation? Would you and I have even dared to speak up, knowing that the odds were against us? But even though they were outnumbered, notice in what the Bible says in verse 3, Abijah, without hesitation, set the battle in array. He put his soldiers in a formation to go to war, even though they were completely outnumbered. Notice that the Bible says that they set themselves in array. Notice we don't find any soldiers running away. Notice we don't find anyone complaining or panicking. They were trusting, relying on the Lord God of their fathers against the odds that were facing them. Come with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 46. We'll be back in 2 Chronicles, but notice the book of Psalms, Psalm 46. Here we find a wonderful psalm describing a faith that is against the odds, against the circumstances. Psalm chapter 46, verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the seas. You see, the psalmist here is reflecting the faith he has within. And this is the kind of faith, church, that pleases God. A faith against the odds. A faith despite the circumstances. You see, the psalmist was saying here in Psalm chapter 46 that even if the world was falling down around him and he could see the mountains crumbling into the sea, he would still trust in the living God. And friends, that is the kind of faith that God wants us to have. Though everything may seem against us, though it may seem we are outnumbered and the odds are against us in any area of life, God still wants us to totally rely on him. A faith against the odds. That's what it means to rely upon God, no matter what we see happening in our lives. Now, the problem is, most of the time, we do the opposite, don't we? We find ourselves in a difficulty, in a trial, in a situation where it seems like everything against us, and the first person we turn to isn't the Lord. The first person we turn to is ourselves. Just like that little illustration, we try and jump into the captain's seat and fix the problem. We try and find a solution ourselves. And friends, that is not living by faith. Faith is you and I relying upon God completely when all the odds are against us. That's what we see in this example back in 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. Sometimes we panic. Sometimes we get discouraged. Many times you and I doubt God. God, why have you allowed this to happen? And I wonder what the nation of Judah thought as they stood there upon the mountain. They knew that they were in the right. They knew that they were obeying God. And suddenly they realized they were in big trouble. Now, don't mistake it. Yes, they had twice as many men, but they had twice as many men that were fit for the battle. The Bible describes Abijah's men as chosen men, valiant men. But likewise, Jeroboam had chosen men. He had valiant men also. All his men were men of war. All his men were mighty men. You see, Jeroboam, statistically, would you agree, should have won. For every soldier that Abijah had, Jeroboam had twice as many. Picture that in your mind for a moment. That means there would be two soldiers attacking every one soldier, two on one, for every soldier. Now, just think about that and think to yourself, well, Are those the kind of odds that you and I would dare go up against? What would you and I have done? And yet we see a wonderful example. What is it that made the difference in their hearts at this very moment? What made the difference was that they relied upon the Lord. And that's the example given to us this morning. That's what made the difference. And friends, that is what will make the difference in your life and mine as Christians. When you and I depend upon God, we can face impossible situations. We can face situations where all the odds are stacked against us. Friend, what trial are you facing at this moment? What situation has caused you to become discouraged? Where it seems like everything is going against you, though you know you are standing in the right. Well, it may very well be that God has put you in that situation. And you are exactly where He wants you to be because He wants you now to learn what it means to rely upon the Lord God of your fathers. Friends, God will show Himself strong. God will win the victory. But we need to understand that we walk by faith and not by, say it, sight. So the odds against you and I are those things that we can see, is that correct? But the Bible tells us that they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Because when we see God through the eyes of faith, we understand that God is greater than all. So though the odds may be against us, if God is our God, then we can live confidently and courageously and walk by faith. So important to live by faith and not by sight when the odds are against us. Now let me just talk about something that's common to many this morning. Let me talk about the issue of salvation. Let me ask you this morning, when you put your faith in Jesus Christ as Savior, if you're a Christian this morning, did you see the Lord Jesus Christ? If you did, then there was something wrong. Because we're saved by faith. No matter what a TV evangelist says on the TV, and he saw a giant Jesus in front of him, the Bible says we will see him face to face one day. But not yet. No, we didn't see a giant Jesus in front of us. So how did we get saved? We got saved by faith in the Word of God. How did we get saved? Did we get saved by seeing God? Did we get saved by seeing any evidence, yes or no? No, we didn't. We put our faith in the promises of God, in the Word of God. We put our faith in Jesus Christ to save us once and for all. We did not see Christ standing at the right hand of the throne of God. We did not see Jesus Christ risen from the dead. We've never seen the glories of heaven, my friend. But the day that you repented of your sin and you put your faith in Christ to save you once and for all, that was the day that your sins were forgiven. That was the day your sins were cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. You see, you were saved. If you're saved at all, you are saved by faith in Christ, trusting in the unseen, but that which is absolutely true and reliable. Does that make sense? So we as Christians today, in order to live by faith, we are to live the same way we did when we got saved, simply trusting in the unseen, simply trusting in the promises of God, simply trusting in the God who is able to do the impossible, able to take the sin of mankind and nail the entire sin of mankind from the beginning of time until the very end of the time of sin. God is able, and He did nail the sins of mankind to the cross. And He blotted out the handwriting of condemnation against you and I by the blood of Jesus Christ. And for every sinner that repents of their sins and looks to Jesus Christ alone to save them and calls upon His name, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall instantly, eternally be saved. Friends, that is the wonderful message of the gospel. The free gift of eternal life that can only be received by faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Friend, if you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you're looking for evidence, friends, God has already given you every evidence you need. The promises of the Word of God, will you claim them this morning? If you're not sure where you're going when you die, let me encourage you to receive the promises of God. Let me encourage you to look to Jesus Christ and rely on Him alone to save you once and for all. That is God's promise of salvation. That is God's gift to us because of His wonderful Son. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. Thank God for the gift of salvation. Now, as Christians, now that we are saved, we need to live the same way. We need to live by faith. Maybe there was a time where you thought, the Lord can't save me. And then you trusted in His promises and experienced His salvation. So what do? When we face impossible odds as Christians, well, we do the same thing. We trust in the promises of God. We believe He can do the impossible. We believe that every circumstance in our life is in the control of Almighty God. We need to have a faith, Christians, that is against all the odds. A faith against the odds. You see, we need to stop trusting in our jobs and in our bank account, and we need to start trusting in God. Maybe the odds are all stacked against you financially, and you look at the accounts and they're real. Friends, this situation that was facing Abijah was real. It wasn't imagined. It wasn't make-believe. They were in big trouble, but they weren't in big trouble because they had the Lord. So the question is, whom will they rely on? Friends, the same is for you and I. Who are you relying on this morning? Are you relying on what you have in the bank? Are you relying upon your health and your own strength? Or are you living by the supernatural grace of God when times get tough? Friends, we have a wonderful God that we can rely on. But so often we don't live by faith because we're trusting in what we can see. When the odds are against us, most times, what do you and I do? We panic. We run. We fall. Instead of looking to the Lord God of our fathers and claiming the promises of God. Friends, we need to stop trusting in our feelings because our heart deceives us, and we need to trust in the truth of His Word. That's what it means to live by faith, doesn't it? Trusting in what God says instead of what I say. Amen? Instead of what you say. Trusting in what God says. If you are needy this morning, say, Pastor, you don't know my situation. In fact, it's so horrible, I don't want to tell anyone. Thank God we can tell it to Jesus, amen. Thank God we can come boldly before the throne of grace. Why? Because He is the Savior who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He has experienced the grievousness of this wicked world. And He knows what you and I are going through. And He knows how He can help us. And He invites us to come to experience the grace and help only He can offer in a time of need. But will you choose to rest completely on Him? Will you choose, just like getting on a plane and putting that seatbelt on, and say, well, the Lord's in control. I'm just going to sit and rely on Him to get me to the promised destination. Amen? That's what it means to trust, to rest. Let me encourage you to claim the Lord as your own. Let me encourage you to have a faith against the odds. Well, it's interesting what happens next. Because you and I might say, well, that's a wonderful lesson. And, well, we could stop right there and have an early mark and enjoy the rest of the day. But there's more. Even though they were standing by faith, and you and I would say, what an amazing example of faith to live up to and to be challenged by, totally against the odds, what would you and I have done? Notice what happens next in the book of 2 Chronicles. Are you still with me this morning? 2 Chronicles chapter 13. Notice what happened in verse number 13. Suddenly, the situation got worse. Verse 13. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come about behind them so that they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked, verse 14, behold, the battle was before and behind. Notice, while Abijah was preaching, was telling the truth, rebuking Jeroboam deceptively sent half of his army to sneak up behind Abijah's army. So suddenly, not only was Abijah outnumbered, but he was also outmaneuvered. The army was now in front, 400,000 in front of his 400,000, and 400,000 behind. Would you agree with me this morning that though they had a measure of faith as they stood there and were willing to face the 800,000, would you agree with me this morning that suddenly things got a whole lot worse? They sure did. They got absolutely worse. They were now trapped. They were now in great danger. Before, they were in impending danger, potential danger, but now Jeroboam's army was about to attack from in front and from behind. What do we see next in this chapter to learn from? Well, we've seen a faith against the odds, and now we see a faith that is tested. A faith that is tested. Friends, God allowed this to happen. God allowed Jeroboam to do such a thing and to trap Abijah's men. Now, why would God allow that to happen? I mean, they were standing in faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Were they not pleasing God by standing upon that mountain in faith, believing in God, relying upon God? Why would He allow things to get worse? Friends, why does God allow things to get worse in your life and mine? You know, it seems like sometimes when we take that step of faith and we say, "Praise the Lord, I trusted God," and suddenly things get worse. Amen. We think to ourselves, I thought I was living by faith. Why did God allow that to happen? Why is God working in such a way? Well, you see, in this very real example, God allowed the situation to get worse. Why? Because He was testing their faith. It was a faith against the odds, but now it is a faith that is being tested. Because the real question is, how much faith did they really have? How much were they relying upon God? Were they really relying upon God? Well, only you and I can know that in our lives when God does what? When He tests our faith. Where does it say that in the Bible? That's a good question. 1 Peter chapter 1. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 7. Thank you for turning there. The Bible tells us that God will test our faith. He will try it. He will cause our faith to be examined. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Let's read aloud on two, shall we? 1, 2. "That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. So here we see that God tests your faith and mine. He allows trials into our lives. Why? To show us what faith we really have. And I have to admit, sometimes I think I'm doing pretty well as a Christian until the next trial comes up and God shows me how I really react. God shows me in the fiery trial what's really there. And He does that, why? Because He wants us to rely on Him. He wants us to know and to learn what it really means to walk by faith and not by sight. To know what it really means that the just shall live by total reliance upon God by faith. In order to do that, He tests your faith and mine. Just like gold, when it's dug out of the ground, carries with it all sorts of impurities, all sorts of foreign matter that need to be removed. When that gold is put in the heat and purified, and the heat melts off those impurities, that's when the gold comes forth as something that's valuable and pure and beautiful. So when you and I get saved, amen, God forgives us for our sins, and then we come into what we have described this year as Christ's school of faith, the time of life that we live now as Christians, where God is purifying us. He's bringing circumstances into your life and mine that He has brought in to do what? To test our faith, to increase our faith. You see, here in the life of the nation of Judah, back in 2 Chronicles chapter 13, we see a faith that is tested. And friends, God will allow that to happen. How did they respond? Some wonderful lessons to learn. Come back with me to 2 Chronicles 13. Quickly look at verse number 14 with me. The Bible says in verse 14, "And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind." Now they were in serious trouble. Not only were they outnumbered, they were outmaneuvered, and the armies were coming at them and attacking from both sides, and they were on the move. They were in big trouble. It looks like they were doomed. What does the Bible say in verse 14? "And they cried unto the Lord." They cried unto the Lord. Would you agree, with the enemy fast approaching, their faith had to come up another level? Either that or they die. What were they going to do? Well, they cried unto the Lord. You see, the Lord tested their faith in order for them to truly know what it means to trust in God. Without any hope, without any possibility of any strength in themselves, they looked to the one who was able to deliver them. They would have to trust in God or else they would die. Friends, that this was not just a cry of despair. This was a cry of faith. This was a cry of faith. Notice the rest of verse 14. The Bible says, "And the priests sounded the trumpets." Friends, the trumpet blow was not a trumpet sound to retreat. It wasn't a suicidal trumpet. No, what did they use the trumpets for? They used trumpets in the Old Testament as a sound of victory, as a sound of battle, a cry to battle. But who was on the attack? Who was it? It was the enemy that was attacking. They were helpless, but they weren't hopeless. The priests, amen? The priests blew the trumpets, and as they put their faith in God, they were trusting that the battle was the Lord's. They were trusting that God would deliver them and that He was on their side. And notice in verse 15, "Then the men of Judah gave a shout." They gave a shout. As you look up this word shout, it's not a cry of despair. It's not the kind of noises you and I make when a problem comes into our lives and we start complaining and we start blaming God for the situation we find ourselves in. No, the word shout here means a shout for joy. It means a victory cheer. As they were being attacked by the enemy and outnumbered and maneuvered, notice what they did. They gave out a victory cheer before the battle was even won. What an amazing example of a people totally relying upon God. And what was the result in verse 15? And you've already read it. "And it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah." Can you see very simply with me this morning that God allowed the situation to get worse in order that His people might learn to totally rely on Him. Now, friend, I don't know what trial you're facing at this time, but let me encourage you, don't despair when the situation gets worse. You see, I know how I'm like. I like to set a limit to how much God will test my faith. Are you like that as well this morning? Lord, this is as much as I can take, and in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, if God does more than that, well, look out. I'm not going to take that. That's what we say to ourselves in our sinful pride. Lord, I can only handle so much. Now, God tells us in His Word, He will not cause us to be tested or tempted above which we are able. But in His infinite wisdom, He knows where that limit is. We don't. So in order for your faith and mine to grow, He cannot allow us to set the limit, can He? He cannot allow us to set the bar here when, if we do, we will never grow by faith. We'll be comfortable. We'll be seemingly comfortable. But what are we trusting in? What we can see, not who God is. We'll be trusting in what we have and not what God has for us. We'll be trusting in circumstances and not in God's almighty supernatural power. And the exciting adventure of the Christian life will be missed if you and I don't allow God to do what He desires in our life by faith. So what God so often does to you and I, He allows the odds to be stacked against us, and then He allows things to get worse. He allows things to get worse. Now, as Christians, what are we meant to do at that stage? Well, we simply need to stay seated and tighten the belt. Amen? We need to put our seatbelts on and tighten the belt and rely on God than ever before and trust God to do the impossible by faith. You see, that's what the nation of Judah did. That's what God will do in your life and mine. C.H. Spurgeon said this. He said, "Faith untried may be true faith, but it is sure to be little faith, and it is likely to remain small as long as it is without trials." He certainly put it clearly. You know, we might have a measure of faith, and I trust that you do. You've trusted in Christ, and I'm sure you're trusting in the Lord for many things in your life, and I believe that I am too. But how can we really know the true quality of that faith? Well, we can't. We can't know until it's tested. Until we face the fiery trial. Until we see that when the odds are against us, that's not enough. They have to be impossibly against us. And that's when so often you and I choose to trust in the Lord. Friends, we need to allow God to bring times of testing. It's good for us. Though we don't like it, our flesh hates it, wants to get out of it. You know, I think of these soldiers. They had some options too, didn't they? They could have ran away. They could have said, "Abijah, nice speech, I'm out of here." They could have run to the left if the ambushment was before and behind. I don't think things would have worked out that well if they did. But they stayed by faith. They could have given up. They could have thrown down their weapons and surrendered to the enemy. Friends, when you and I live in unbelief, that's effectively what we're doing. We're surrendering to the enemy. We're surrendering to the sinful flesh within. We're surrendering to the fiery darts of the devil that are still under the control of God. But what does God want us to do? He wants us to lift up the shield of, say it, faith. Faith. Faith will quench every fiery dart of the devil. Faith will enable you and I to stand in this evil day, but we need to have faith. They could have run off. They could have given up. They could have taken their own lives. But that's not what they did. They looked above. They shouted a cry of victory. They believed that the battle was already won before it began. And God tested their faith. And their faith, at this time in their history, came forth as gold. Friend, what is God doing in your life? When the next trial comes up, how will you respond? Do you remember the wonderful words of David in Psalm 23 and verse 4? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? "For thou art with me." For thou art with me. That's what makes all the difference. He is with me. If He's walking with me through the impossible odds and circumstances, if He's with me in any situation, that means I can rejoice. I can trust Him. I can rely on Him. Friend, you can live by faith. You can trust in the Lord, but how will you and I choose to respond? Let me encourage you, the next time you're shocked by the circumstances, realize that God is testing your faith. Nothing happens by chance. Why? Romans 8:28. "For we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose, that we might be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ." That's his desire in your life and mine. You see, as the enemy was suddenly destroyed, supernaturally destroyed, what happened? Who, does the Bible say, saw this amazing victory? It was the tribe of Judah. He did this before them, and who received the glory? Was it the mighty men of valor, yes or no? Was it Abijah with this great speech upon the mountain? No, it wasn't. Who was lifted up and exalted? It was the Lord God
of their fathers. And see, when you and I face impossible circumstances and you and I experience great victories by faith, it is God who receives the glory. And you and I come forth as gold. That is His plan for our Christian life. To grow in grace and knowledge. To show the world our faith. And to rejoice in God. Friends, how would you respond when God brings in that next difficulty? Now, you don't necessarily have to be happy about it at first, but you need to put your faith in the Lord. You need to turn to Him sooner rather than later. That's a good description of faith. You know, when we get saved, He's teaching us to rely on Him, isn't He? And wherever we are at in the Christian life, His goal is the same for all of us, that we would turn to Him sooner than we did before. And as we learn from the victories of the past, we make better decisions for the future. We trust in Him in greater ways. We rely on Him more and more as we trust in the Lord. When the Lord brings a trial into your family's life, parents, how will you respond? Will you cry out to the Lord believing, or will you fall down in despair? Church, when God brings a trial into our church, how will we respond? Now, the theme this year is given to us as a church. The just shall live by faith. That means that it will include trials and testings. It's been a big year. Many things have happened. What will God allow into our church this year? What will we have to face together by faith? Will we panic and fall apart? Or will we trust in the Word of God? Friends, our soul-winning ministry is a ministry of faith. Going out door-knocking. Friends, this ministry needs to increase. It only can by faith, by believing the Word of God and saying, yes, I'll go out trusting and relying in the Lord to do the impossible, though I know that I'm absolutely helpless to save someone. God will use me because of His promises, and He promises to do so. So therefore, I'm going to go on Wednesday as a lady. Therefore, I'm going to go on Saturday as a man, door knocking. What about the trials He'll bring in? How will you and I respond? You see, the nation together as a people, don't lose sight of that, as a people chose to stick together and say, this is horrible. We don't know what to do, but we know that God is for us. And we can simply cry out to Him and He will do the impossible. God is teaching us to rely on Him this year. To have a faith against the odds and to have a faith that endures testing times and comes forth as gold. Let me conclude with this thought, this little example. It's interesting as you read about the life of Abijah the king in the Old Testament. As you read about him, look up different verses, you'll find that he wasn't a man after God's own heart. He wasn't like David at all. In fact, he walked in all the ways of the sins of his fathers. That's what the Bible says. But what we see here in 2 Chronicles chapter 13 is a moment in time where this man chose to live by faith. It was a moment in time that they relied upon the Lord God of their fathers. Now, what does that say to you and I? Well, that says to us this morning that it doesn't matter where you are in your Christian life, it doesn't matter what you've done, God is calling us to live by faith. And yes, you can live by faith. He is a loving God. He is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. He is a patient God. And He calls us as His people to come unto Him, all of us who are weary and heavy laden, and He will give us rest. Amen. But we need to rest in Him in order to enjoy that. We need to trust in Him. We need to cast our cares upon Him, for He careth for you. We need to rest in the Lord. Friend, you might be here this morning and say, look, my faith is just so weak. I don't know if I've even lived by faith. I struggle in this area of faith. Friend, if Abijah, this man, is recorded in the holy word of God for us to see, friend, you can live by faith too. You can trust in the Lord now. Perhaps this morning you need to trust in the Lord for salvation. That's where faith begins. If you've never been born again, if you've never personally received Christ as Savior, it's impossible to live by faith. If you're not sure of the time that you were forgiven once and for all for your sins, if you're not 100% sure if you died right now, you'd be in heaven. Let me encourage you today to receive Christ, to turn to Him and rely on Him completely for salvation. Perhaps you're here this morning, Christian, and the odds are against you. Let me encourage you to put down the lessons of this morning into your life. What does God want you to do? How does He want you to respond? Friends, we can stand upon that mountain, upon that rock that is Christ. Amen? And we can continue to live righteously in this evil day. We can continue to live by faith as children of God. And yes, when things get worse, we can continue to live by faith and rely upon the Lord God of our fathers and glorify Him with our lives. May that be said of you and I as we make steps of faith into this week ahead.